This is Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on your official home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, hour two rolling on. This is Sportsnet Today. Logan Gordon along with you. My outstanding producers in the other room are Cam and Taylor. Hello, friends.
Howdy, howdy.
Taylor.
Cam's talking at me. Hello.
Stop talking at her, Cam.
I'm so sorry.
Come on.
Talking about work stuff.
I need any part of the show.
We're here. Don't worry.
Time for you to be yip-yapping over there.
Yip-yap.
Gosh. Kids today.
They're yip-yapping.
Tick-tocking in there. Snap-facing. Can't get off their phones. Tweeting. Quit twatting at each other.
You're like a year older than me.
I don't know what you're talking about. We're coming live from the Doug Lazy. I don't know if I said it. We're going to say it again. We're at the Doug Lazy's Basement Systems downtown studios here in Calgary, Alberta. Hope you're doing all right. Thanks for listening either live or on the podcast. Reminder, you can get the show on podcast or any of your favorite Sportsnet 960 shows on your favorite podcatcher, Google, Amazon, Spotify, iTunes, whatever you want to do. Like and subscribe. We'd love for you to be along for the ride. Obviously, you're home of the Calgary Flames. And that's where we kick off hour two of the program today. We've continued to hear bits and pieces of news around the Calgary Flames and their GM search over the course of this week. And everyone's asking the question, when is the GM going to be in place? We heard from interim GM and vice president of hockey, or president of hockey ops, excuse me, Don Maloney, say after the NHL's draft lottery show, scouting meetings coming up in a few weeks' time. Obviously, the NHL draft, a big priority for the Calgary Flames. We'd like to have a GM in place by then. Okay, perfect. So we're a couple weeks out from that happening. But the wording from NHL insiders, in my mind, has started to turn. Elliot Friedman, obviously one of the most connected guys in the league, monitoring this situation. You heard him on the 32 Thoughts podcast, I believe on Monday, you know, using the term that this search for the Calgary Flames is entering phase two. It's expanding. It's moving on to the next one. We've heard that the list of candidates, and it was a long list of candidates, was being taken down and narrowed down to the final few names. Pierre LeBrun from The Athletic and TSN has mentioned that he feels the Flames are getting late in the process of hiring the next GM. So the wording certainly starting to feel much closer to the end than the beginning of this search. And another prominent media member, you know him well in this city, Eric Francis, obviously covers the team on a full-time basis for Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. Regular on this station, whether it's his show on Monday or joining Pat on Flamestock, or like he did earlier this morning, joining the guys on the big show with Rustic and Rose, gave a pretty pointed answer as to when he feels a announcement might be coming from the Calgary Flames and some names still around that conversation. Here's just a bit of what Eric Francis had to say when it comes to the Flames GM timeline and the candidates still in the process.
Do you have any GM news for us? Can you at least give us a timeline on when you expect at least some sort of announcement?
I would expect they'll make an announcement next week. I really would.
And, okay.
You know, they've got They've got scouting meetings coming up. They want this done before then. You know, I they've certainly talked to a kabillion people, and now they've moved on. I know they've pared it down. I don't know the number to what they've pared it down to, but I know they're now starting to do second interviews and really get to the nitty-gritty. And I think next week is the week that you're going to see an announcement for the Calgary Flames with their new GM.
Can you share some of those names with us of these second interviews or second phase of this? Because we know Freed said Dale Hunter, Mark Bergevin were names out there. Ray Whitney, are that some of the same names you're hearing too?
Yeah, those names are definitely in there. Mike Buda's in there. Stan Bowman's in there. I think that there are. I don't. It's funny because I've spoken to a couple guys, and I'm not going to name them because I don't think it. They kind of it doesn't help their cause if you go public and they're already talking to the media. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I just let's just say they've scoured the NHL because there are some names in there. I'm like, what? I had to look them up and go, okay, you know, I remember when we first heard the name Brad Treliving, of course, everybody had to go immediately and start doing their research and finding out a little bit more about him. And you quickly find out he's a pretty impressive guy with a great reputation around the league. So anyone they talk to, I mean, you might as well talk to as many as you can, because not only are you hiring your GM, but you may also want to fill out your assistant GM role with somebody that you've talked to around the league who really impresses you, a real progressive thinker that you think could help your organization. So, I'll give them credit. They really have talked to a ton of people and some pretty impressive ones. All the big ones that you'd expect.
Eric, I think I'd be really surprised if they named Stan Bowman the general manager.
Yeah.
Just based on the optics, right? Like you're turning the page on Daryl Sutter, and obviously it's a completely different situation. But if you want to be a little more fan friendly, a little more player friendly, maybe that's not the guy to bring in here as the GM, no?
Yeah. I'll vehemently disagree just because,
sure.
First of all, his resume is second to none in the search. And I'm not saying he should be the guy. I'm just telling you that, you know, he has to be considered because he's won three cups as a general manager. I think that, you know, it's always, as Matty Rose always says, hindsight is 50-50.
Right.
And, sure you know. Is.
Damn it.
Did he know I don't want to get into the whole nuts and bolts of it, and I'm not going to sit here and defend anything that happened in Chicago or didn't happen.
Right.
All I'm going to say is it's only 10 years later when you realize just how horrific it is what happened to Kyle Beach. But at the time, did they know how, the extent of it? Sure, questions could be asked as to did they dig enough? Did they dig enough, you know, and to find out more? At the end of the day, I think that at some point in time, you know, you move on and you – it's a tough one, guys. I'm kind of struggling for my words here because it's such a delicate subject.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just end it by saying, sure, there are going to be some people who will be upset about it, but I would like to think that if they did hire him, then Stan would have a chance to, you know, state his case one last time and then move forward, and then everyone would move forward. I don't believe that it's really horrific optics if you hired Stan Bowman. That's all I'm saying.
That's just a portion of Eric Francis with the guys on the Big Show earlier today with Russick and Rose. You can find that wherever you get your podcasts for the full conversation. That's just a bit on the GM news, and obviously the big part of that is what came at the beginning, and Eric saying I could see an announcement as soon as next week for this team when it comes to their next GM. And for a lot of people, that would answer a lot of questions we've been waiting for. The names that are still out there, obviously franchise at the end, talking about Stan Bowman and his candidacy. It's been a name that's been brought up before. I think some of the regulars that we've talked about in this, Bergevin's been a name that's come up. Obviously the internal candidates of Conroy and Pascal. I believe Friedman said as early as today that he believes Brad Pascal's been through the interview process twice during this. The search for the Calgary Flames, as he should be, as I think Craig Conroy should be as well. I'm the things that I'm glad to hear about is I'm glad that it is coming to an end because, I'm as curious as anybody else, obviously, who the next GM of this team is going to be. I think it's an incredibly important hire for this organization. It's going to shape this core of players, the Huberto, Kadri, core and what this team direction takes place with the crop of UFAs coming up next season. It's an incredibly important hire, and I think it's one that, you know, I'm glad they didn't rush into. Clearly, the decision wasn't made hastily after Brad Schilling's exit or Daryl Sutter's exit, by that matter. And if I was a Flames fan, I would be encouraged to hear from Francis and Friedman, LeBrun, Saravalli, that the, whether you agree with it or not, and Stan Bowman's obviously the one that rubs most people the wrong way. I'll say this, there's never harm in checking. Do I want Stan Bowman to be the next GM of the Calgary Flames? No, I don't. I think from a GM perspective, I really don't think he was as strong of a GM during his time in Chicago as maybe some think he was. To be frank, and this is just my opinion, I think, you know, when you've got guys like Kane and Taves in their prime, you're working around the edges of a team. I don't think that he made the key moves in Chicago that shaped that franchise into the, you know, multi-time winning Stanley Cup franchise that they became over the 2010s. And that's aside from the Kyle Beach stuff, which in my mind still hasn't been handled properly. And I know there's people on the text line who feel the same way about that. That's just me. But again, the point I'm making is that I don't think it hurts to check. Would I have an issue with them hiring? I think yeah, it would probably rub me the wrong way. But I don't think there's any harm in checking, going through that process, because I think as I've learned through this, I'm curious if people else, you know, listening have learned this as well. There's a lot of candidates out there for a lot of different reasons. Searching for the next GM of your team is not a quick process. There are former players, there are former GMs, there are assistant GMs, there are GMs who, like Stan Bowman, for one reason or another, haven't been part of hockey over the last couple of years. It's different for other people, obviously. But I think I've learned for sure that the list of candidates is not a quick one to dive through. And I think that Don Maloney and John Bean probably, I know Pat's thrown out the number, I think 40 plus was the number that Pat's thrown out on Flames Talk as to like legitimate candidates that they've gone through in this process. That number sounds about right to me when you talk about all the different options that are out there, including the internal ones. And to narrow that process down, I do think having a GM in place for your final scouting meetings is important. I think you need to have that GM with as much ammunition in his pocket, as much knowledge as in his pocket, his or her pocket, I should say, as possible heading into the draft, whether it's prospects or trading or, you know, moving up and down the draft, whatever it is. I think that person needs to be as familiar with the organization and what they can or can't provide ahead of the draft. Obviously, that's easier if it's a Conroy or a Pascal. But like I said, the search should never have just been those two. It hasn't been those two. Would I say that Conroy, to me, is still the favorite in-house to land the job? I would think so. But clearly, and again, rightfully so, I think the Flames have gone through an extensive process. And I am curious if Eric's guess is right. Eric is as connected to this team as anybody and, you know, understands the timing, as he mentioned in there, of having a guy in place and getting to know Don Maloney and the rest of the organization. In case it's not, the timing, if it's Conroy or Pascal, you can wait on. It's not nearly as sudden. Those guys have been around for a long time and don't need the same introduction as somebody else. But if it is somebody else and you're confident they're the guy going forward, then yes, absolutely. You need to find a way to get them in the organization as soon as possible and begin the process of introducing them to every facet of this team, because it's a massive offseason coming this GM. This GM is not going to wade into the waters here in Calgary quietly. whether it's picking at 16 overall and, you know, perhaps landing this team a very good prospect, trading down, as some people have suggested, to add to the cupboards of Flames prospects. The NHL draft, I remind you, is one of the busiest times for player transactions and would be the earliest opportunity for this next GM to put their mark on this team. And then all of a sudden we're talking about UFAs, free agency, RFAs. Obviously next year's crop of unrestricted free agents is the one that most are focusing on, but there's still plenty of decisions to be made this offseason on, you know, very important pieces of this team. Who's coming back, who's not. Can you open up some cap space? This GM, whoever it is not going to have a quiet offseason, and I don't think you can, given the way this team underperformed and given how much expectations are still high for this team. I don't think this GM has the choice to be quiet this offseason. I think that they're going to have to immediately come in and make some pretty key decisions. Maybe the first one there is the head coach. I didn't even mention that in all of that. Went through the draft, free agency, all that. The head coach is a massive one. This team has fumbled head coach after head coach after head coach after head coach. Is this next GM finally the guy that can come in and give this team a coach that lasts 4 or 5 years? I have no idea. But it's certainly going to be one of the aspects that we look for. And if it does start next week, like Francis said, then it's going to be the beginning of a very interesting era for the Calgary Flames. A couple of texts here at 960-960. This one says, the optics of hiring Bowman would be a death sentence to this team. This one says, Glenn Saylor was not a good coach or GM either. I could have opened the gate just as well. You need great players to win on any team, not just Chicago. Weak comment. I don't think Stan Bowman was a sterling GM. I you're free to disagree with that. But again, I think that some of the moves that he made in Chicago weren't great. And I do think when you've got guys like Taves and Kane who did so much for your franchise, and there's other guys in there too. I'm just saying, I don't think that the GM's job, there's obviously other factors of it than just those two. I understand a roster is made up of different things there. To me, I don't think Stan Bowman's the GM that some associate him to be. That's me. You can disagree. What else we got here? Reminder, fan feedback line always open to you here on Sportsnet today. We'll be chatting with Matty Rose, our pal from Russick and Rose, on the big show in the morning next for a little Stampeders training camp preview. So stick around for that. But we're going through some text here at 960-960. This one says, bizarre that Sutter's daring to not respect a rookie after his first NHL game is completely unacceptable, but it's okay to hire someone who was responsible for people who committed terrible acts on another employee during his last position as GM. Just bizarre thinking, in my opinion. Just because I think that Stan Bowman's name is involved here, I don't think that he's necessarily going to be hired. I don't know that he's ever going to get a job in the NHL again. I think that's a conversation that you can have if and when that happens. I think there's a greater conversation to be had that, you know, the entire Blackhawks organization in a couple different ways got off of that situation pretty well and are poised to not really be held accountable for much other than a few years away from the league. But that's a conversation for a different time. We've been through that a bit before. If it does happen to come up again with Bowman, then I'll have it again. But for now, it is what it is. Big Mike texting in, so I'm right there with your logo. Stan Bowman not only overrated, but considered out for what happened to Beach while he was GM. I generally don't mind Francis, but his defense of Bowman is misplaced. I don't think Francis is defending Bowman, and I'm not going to put words in Eric's mouth. He's a much pointed and much more experienced reporter and speaker in this organization than I've been and I ever will be, probably. I don't necessarily think that Francis is defending him. I think he's aware of how business works and that he's a candidate for the job, and some will feel he's been punished adequately for it and some won't. I don't think Francis is defending him in that sense or anything that happened in Chicago. I know that for sure. This one says, hey, Logo, what do you think of the combination of Conroy as GM and Gerard Gallant as head coach? Look, the first half I'm all for. I've been on the Conroy train since day one of this conversation. I think he's done everything that he can do in this organization and I think deserves the opportunity, and I'd love for it to be in the city of Calgary. I'm not as sold on Gerard Gallant. Gallant is sort of, I don't know, Gallant's starting to peek into that category of a short-term coach that doesn't have a long shelf life. I think given some of his experience in the league, I think he's a great coach. I think this organization needs somebody that could potentially be along for the long term, and I just, at least his last few stops haven't given me that thought process of Gerard Gallant, especially how things ended in New York. Do I think he's a good coach? Yeah. Do I think he fits the scenario here in Calgary all that much? Yeah. A couple more here before we get out of here. This one says Flames management has slighted fans in favor of corporate sponsorship for years, but when it comes to funding for a new arena, management came to fans and support as a corporate sponsor. The Flames GM has some bridges to build with fans. This one says, can we stop saying Conroy is the right candidate and deserves the opportunity because he's been here a while? He's been part of the leadership structure all through the recent failures. Time for a fresh voice and face with new ideas. That from Rob and Airdrie. I'll defend my own saying in this, Rob, and what I'm trying to put out for Conroy is it's not that Conroy's been in Calgary for this long that I think makes him a good candidate. I think that any assistant GM that's been in the position that Craig Conroy has been in and done the things that Craig Conroy's done deserve to have that look towards a GM spot. And to put Craig's name along with the failures and the shortcomings of this organization, I feel is unfair when you don't have your hand on the trigger. He's not the one that gets to make those final choices. He's not the one that gets to, you know, have the final say on these. Is he a part of it? Absolutely. And I think that someone, you know, down the line, where there have been decisions that Conroy made that were part of mistakes, sure, that happens in every organization. But I think for Conroy to have been in this organization, to do everything that assistant GM does, I really don't think there's anything that falls under the assistant GM's duties that Craig Conroy hasn't done in his time here. And that comes with being successful in that role. He's not just here because he's a great guy and we love chatting with him and he's cool to be part of the organization. He's been an assistant GM because he's succeeded in all of these spots. The tasks and the responsibilities that the front office have placed at Craig Conroy's feet have been successes. That's why he's been here for so long. If Brad Treliving or Don Maloney or anybody else in the organization felt that whatever task Craig was given, whether it was, you know, college free agent scouting, contracts, talking to college free agents, all that sort of stuff, if they felt that that wasn't being done at the level that was appropriate, Craig wouldn't be here. Craig's not here because he was a fan favorite. Make no mistake about that. Craig's here on the fact that he's earned that job. And the reason that he's been a favorite for a lot of people is because he's earned that job. And I'm not saying that you're wrong, Rob, that a fresh face or that somebody out of the organization couldn't be the right guy. Because it could be. I absolutely think there are great candidates out there. Brandon Pridham's an interesting name from the Leafs that just popped up the other day that I think has a tremendous resume. Hasn't had a chance to be a GM yet and could fit the bill here in Calgary. I like Conroy. I like the fact that he knows the organization and doesn't have to, learn as much of the process and learn as much of the players here. But at the end of the day, would I be stunned if they went somewhere else? No, I don't think so. couple more here. Rob says, fair enough. You're welcome for the juice. I appreciate you, Rob. Thanks for texting in. Yeah, so there's lots there. I appreciate you guys texting in at 960-960. This one says Conroy Brunette. How about that for Hubie and Uyghur? John Lethbridge sends that in. Yeah, that wouldn't be interesting for sure. Somebody that knows those guys. And I like this one. We'll end it off here from Matt and Cochran. He says, I need someone like Brendan Moore. He's been amazing for the Hurricanes since he got the position. Yeah, I think somebody in that coaching position that can be there for a long time, I think that's going to be a very key priority for this GM. If it happens next week, like Franchise says it will, or if it's 2 weeks from now, whenever that happens, no doubt that's going to be one of the things that we look for immediately from whoever the new GM is. Appreciate you guys texting in at 960-960, the fan feedback line. Always open to you here on Sportsnet today. We got to take a break, but when we come back on the other side, we'll hear from Stampeders head coach and GM Dave Dickinson. Training camp well underway from the Calgary Stampeders. We'll hear from Dave, get the latest on the rumblings around his team, and then we'll check in with Matty Rose, a little training camp preview for the Calgary Stampeders as the CFL preseason schedule is just days away from kicking off. All things Stampeders talk coming up next here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
You're listening to Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on the home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Calgary Stampeders are well underway. Their 2023 edition of training camp from McMahon Stadium. CFL preseason action for the Stamps gets going in just 5 days' time. A preseason edition of the Battle of Alberta. Monday, May 22nd. Elks and Stamps. 2 p.m. kickoff from McMahon Stadium. And with the return of CFL football, there's the return of Stampeders coverage here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Here are lots from our Stampeders reporter, Matty Rose's training camp continues. We'll hear from players and coaches as the season gets underway. The Bo Levi Mitchell era is done in Calgary. They hand the keys over to Jake Mayer, and plenty of stories heading into another edition of training camp for the Stampeders. We'll chat with Matt Rose in just a few moments here to get you set for all things around Stampeders training camp. But first, Cole Tucker's in town. Fourth overall pick in the CFL draft. How they've been handling things around McMahon the last couple days. Haven't been able to get out and practice outside because of the smoke in the air around here. And obviously, all of our thoughts here in Calgary are with everybody in the province dealing with all the forest fires and everything going on right now. So we're hoping everybody for the best in those situations. But yeah, it's been a minor inconvenience for the Calgary Stampeders to move their practice around compared to what some people are going through in our province right now. But it has been a storyline for them. They've been able to move inside for yesterday's practice, but not quite the same for today. The obvious big story for the Stampeders was getting first-round pick Cole Tucker signed and into camp. That was the big news at training camp today. Cole Tucker was the fourth pick in the draft out of Northern Illinois. Played 53 games over six seasons at Northern Illinois. Had 155 receptions for 2,030 yards. While in 2022, set career highs with the Huskies. 45 catches, 632 yards, and four touchdowns. He's also been a pretty notable punt returner for Northern Illinois during his career. So got Canadian status late in the draft process. Stamps took him fourth overall. There was a question whether or not the Stamps would see him at any point during training camp because he had already been invited to a rookie mini camp with the NFL's Minnesota Vikings. And obviously you want guys to go through that process and see just what they can do south of the border. Want to exhaust as many of those options. Just sounds like it didn't work out for him in the Vikings mini camp. Quickly Cole Tucker taking advantage of the fact that he was a high draft pick in the CFL draft, signs up with the Stampeders and gets into training camp now with Jake Mayer at the helm. And a really big opportunity for Cole Tucker, I would say, with Philpott going down with that offseason injury. That's a big one for the Stampeders. They need some Canadian depth, and Tucker gives them that opportunity to step into the lineup for sure. That'll be one of the topics that we touch on with our next guest as we go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline this afternoon. You know him, you love him from the big show with Rustic and Rose in the morning. Every single day, 6 to 9, Monday to Friday here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan and our, of course, Stampeders report analyst. It is Matty Rose joining us this afternoon. Matty, how are you, pal?
Oh, good. How are you?
I'm doing great, pal. I was just mentioning there for the Stampeders, a little bit minor inconvenience the last couple of days with practice having to be shuffled around because of the smoke, but some good news today with Cole Tucker signed up and coming to training camp.
Yeah, Cole Tucker signed yesterday. The fourth overall selection from the most recent draft was down at the Vikings rookie mini camp as a tryout. And obviously, after that came to an end on the 15th, signed the contract. Now he's up here. He's jumping into Canadian camp, which a little bit different. A guy that's never really played the Canadian game, you know, Canadian passport, but grew up playing American football. Really intrigued to see him in a practice, though, because as you mentioned, today's session was canceled. So got to see him chat with the media a little bit, and I'm excited to see him out on the field once get the opportunity.
Two things quickly on Tucker. One, were you surprised how quickly he signed here in Calgary? I felt like given the, just what we had heard after he got signed or by draft, after he got drafted, and given it sounded how much he wanted to try out an NFL opportunity, I wasn't expecting to see him up there this quick. Did it surprise you how quickly he signed?
Not overly. It was a rookie mini camp for the Minnesota Vikings, and he was there on a tryout, you know, not as an undrafted free agent or anything like that. So I think it was an opportunity for someone to get some eyes on him. The opportunity to return to the NFL will definitely be there after this season, if he has a great year, or after that year, or after a couple of years, whatever it ends up being.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, he can come to Calgary, he can get a ton of reps up here, and he has a chance to put some stuff on film that he wouldn't be able to get on the NFL practice roster or something like that, and even if someone would take him. So I think it was an opportunity to just go into a camp, get a look, but I think the idea was that he was going to kind of get here eventually, and now he is here, and sure enough, like you were mentioning, the Jalen Philpott injury, they've got some options at that Canadian receiver position.
That's exactly where I wanted to go, the wide receiver battle. Such an interesting one for this Stampeders team. Obviously, you know, we're going to talk about Jake Mayer. Chemistry with him is going to be important in filling that sort of role out with Bo Levi Mitchell no longer in town, but yeah, that injury to Philpott, to me, made things a lot more interesting, Matt. There's a ton of interesting options now at that national receiver spot, whether you want to talk about Cole Tucker, Tyson Middlemost, Colton Hunchak, guys that have been here before, or even a guy like Ryson John, who is just a massive presence at 6'7" himself and has got a couple of looks as well.
100%. And, like, I imagine the way that the Stampeders roster is kind of laid out and the way I've just kind of wrote depth charts out on a napkin type of thing, I could see them going with a couple of Canadian skilled positions and then three American receiver spots and the one American running back position. So on the field at any time, you have either two Canadian receivers or one Canadian receiver and a fullback. And they've got some options, like you mentioned. I think Ryson John coming in is kind of the X factor there as easily the biggest target. I was talking to Jake Mayer earlier in camp, and he said he's the biggest target that he's ever had as a quarterback for sure. You've got the veterans returning in Colton Hunchak, who's really turning into a leader on this team, and Luther Kunivanu, who really showed that he can play the part when given the opportunity. Tyson Middlemost is back, a guy that's featured a lot on special teams, but I'm intrigued to see if he gets some more looks in the offense. Those are all the returners, and then you've got the newcomers. Ryson John, Clark Barnes is a third-round pick. They took him, I believe it was 22nd or 24th overall in the most recent draft, and the Stampeders had Cole Tucker and Clark Barnes as their top two receivers on their board going into the draft. Dave Dickinson has mentioned that a couple of times through camp, and they got them both, and they're both here. And obviously the draft happened after the Jalen Philpott injury, and I think another interesting wrinkle is he's probably going to be ready at some point in the second half of the season here. So you've really got seven legit Canadian receivers that are going to be fighting for two spots for a lot of the season. So it's going to be really intriguing to see how all that breaks down as we get further into camp. Obviously, none of them got cut in the first round of cuts. two little surprises. They've all been quite impressive in their own senses, albeit Cole Tucker, who's just arrived in town.
In your mind, is the other battle at receiver, Maddie, going to be who fills the Kamar Jordan spot now that he's no longer with the Stampeders?
I think so, but at the same time, I don't know how much of a battle it is. Malik Henry and Reggie Bangleton will be in their spots as starters. I'm kind of looking at Trey Odoms Dukes as the guy to step into that Kamar Jordan spot. He was kind of that third receiver, that third American in the slot when Kamar was unable to play or Reggie was unable to go or whatever may have happened in game. So Trey Odoms Dukes is kind of a guy that I look at. Another person that really interested me through rookie camp was Felton Davis. I think he's probably a little further in the pecking order, but right now I think he's a guy that definitely giving a little bit of questions for the coaching staff here is a guy who just in rookie camp in one-on-ones and, you know, you take that with a grain of salt, but I just thought he was really impressive as a guy who could find separation really quickly. And, you know, when I had given an opportunity to make the grab, usually made it. So, Reggie Bangleton and Malik Henry, kind of the guys that I would say have the inside track along with Trey Odoms Dukes, but there's certainly a bit of a battle there too.
Offensively, aside from that, I think we know Jake Mayer goes into this team starter, but the one area that really intrigues me, Maddie, the offensive line, for the most part, looking like it's going to look like it did last year, with one big exception, you have to replace Julian Good-Jones at that right tackle spot. Is that the main battle to watch for during the offensive line here in training camp?
I would say yes. Sean McEwen's going to be playing at center. Ryan Sevier's going to most likely be on his left. Zach Williams got a little bit banged up earlier on in the week, but didn't sound like it's anything too serious. So I'm expecting him to be the right guard when the season gets going. Derek Dennis has arrived in town, a little bit of a late arrival for training camp, but I fully expect him to be ready to go. Spoke to him a little bit today. And he mentioned to the media that, you know, he felt like he was in even better shape than he was to start last season. And that's great news for the Stampeders because minus one of those kind of guy rolls up on you and your ankle breaks, injuries, you know, he was healthy for the entirety of the year and played really, really well. So I think that they've got high aspirations for Derek Dennis returning at that left tackle position as well. But at the same time, you always want to have depth on the offensive line. I think that's what the Stampeders are really looking to find right now. They have been dealing with some injuries too. Like Joshua Coker's already been placed on the injury list, and they've got a couple other guys who have been mostly watching throughout camp. But certainly the outside tackle positions are the ones that intrigue me the most, maybe on the entire offense right now.
How about the group across from them, Maddie? We know who rolls the interior when it comes to the Calgary Stampeders defensive line. It's your brother, Mike Rose, and, of course, Derek Wiggin. Derek Wiggin, the two big guys in the middle who caused so much havoc for the Stampeders. But there's a lot of changes coming to the outside ends of this Stampeders defensive line. Sean Lemon, who had an unbelievable season last year, is no longer there. Valerian Olerolade, who is moving on now on a big contract as well, isn't in town. There's a couple of very interesting pieces that have come in. James Vodders is here. Mm-hmm. Stamps fans will remember him. Julian Hauser is a CFL All-Star playing time in Hamilton. You've obviously got a local guy that's been here for a couple years in Isaac Adeyemi Berglund. This is a really intriguing battle to take over from two very productive veterans in those spots from last year.
They turned the page, right? And
yep.
With Lemon and Flo moving on, you got to start looking at it. And I think the Stampeders understood that James Vodders was going to be an option for this season at some point last year. And as a result, they had to make certain decisions on their defense. James Vodders comes in. He's going to be a starting defensive end and will look to have an outstanding season. You know, sky's the limit for a guy like that. Julian Hauser, like you mentioned, an all-star. You know what you're getting with a guy like that who can play on the outside edge and create havoc in his own sense. So I think when you look at the four starters with Mike Rose and Derek Wiggin, you really like what you can throw at opposition. But I would say that the depth players here are what really intrigue me and are going to make this interesting. The Stampeders like to kind of throw in different defensive linemen, keep them fresh. That way you can have as much pressure on the quarterback as possible at all times. And they've brought back guys like George Abena, Terrell McLean, who will play on the outside, Romeo McKnight, who will play on the inside. It'll be interesting to see TJ Ram and Andrew sign at Spalding spell off Derek Wigan as they both return and look to stay healthy for the whole season. You mentioned Isaac Adeyemi Berglund, who will look to take another step on the outside. And one guy who just kind of stands out, the same way that Rice and John stands out when he's in the huddle, like 6'7", is Keelan Thomas. Now, this dude is humongous and played out in BC in the junior league, the equivalent of what the Calgary Colts play in.
Okanagan's son, right?
Pardon me?
Okanagan's son?
Yeah. And won a whole ton of awards and looks like a full-blown CFL pro already just when you kind of see him walk outside the locker room. So I'm really interested to see how he can grow and what role he can kind of fill. It's probably going to be a special teams role, learn more about being a pro type of thing, but I'm interested to see what the Stampeders can kind of mold that clay into as well when you look at the defensive line.
The DB one is a question heading into training camp. It's such an interesting one, Maddie, because as you go down the list for training camp names, I don't know if there's a position, maybe receiver has as many names as there are DBs, but there's such a mix here, and we know how the Stampeders use things with that Sam linebacker spot as well being an interesting one for coverage and for different reasons. I think we all know that Trey Roberson coming in and being healthy is obviously a massive story for this team and is going to be very important for what they want to do. But they've got a lot of names to sort of sift through and process throughout this whole process. I know there's a ton of guys we've talked about before as guys that have been here, but you know, the Moxies, the Brad Muhammads, those kind of guys. But there's a lot of battles to be had for different DB safety spots on this defense right now.
There is. Like right now, I think there's six positions open. You know, your two corners, your two halves, your safety, and your Sam linebacker, which I kind of count as more of a defensive back position rather than a linebacker position. And I think they've got nine guys that look the part. You mentioned Trey Roberson and Jonathan Moxie. Moxie showed he can play all over the field. It'll be interesting to see where he ends up slotting. I wouldn't be surprised if it's beside Trey Roberson when things were all said and done. Kobe Williams is another guy that last year got some playing time. Darius Williams is another guy that got some playing time. The veteran Nick Taylor is another guy that's kind of interesting. But those three are kind of the guys on the outside. I look at Titus Wall and Brandon Dozier as maybe that tandem for the safety and the Sam. Titus Wall had just an outstanding rookie season until an injury kind of cut it short between the halfway and the three-quarter point. But I think he's a guy that could be outstanding. He would have challenged for rookie of the year last season if he had been healthy for the entire year. So he's interesting. And then Brad Muhammad and Natrell Jamerson both back and healthy to start training camp is another interesting thing. I think those guys earned a lot of trust last year when asked to do some different things, and to get them back in is going to be interesting to watch. Then they've got some other guys who, you know, Michael Griffin and Deshaun McNary are a couple guys who kind of stood out in rookie camp. And when the Stampeders made their last round of cuts, they actually made a lot of cuts to the defensive backs, and McNary and Griffin were a couple guys that did stick around. Julian Charles and Shaquille St. Laud, the other two guys who are also here. But right now, I think there's nine solid guys for six positions. Trey Roberson, John Moxie, Titus Wall, Brandon Dozier, Brad Muhammad, and Charles Jamerson. I think they've got a really solid group of defensive backs they can throw out there, and some solid depth guys that they trust right now too. But to see who's going to be the starter is going to be interesting, but that group could even change a little bit as the first few weeks of the season get going.
And quickly, before we let you go, I would be remiss if I didn't bring up the competition at linebacker to replace Jameer Thurman, who signed in Hamilton. Micah Always, a veteran that's come in, but obviously whoever fills that role beside Cam Judge is going to be a very important spot for the Stampeders.
It's going to be the biggest one to follow for the rest of camp. And frankly, I don't know if we've had a whole lot of inside track runners per se yet. Cam Judge is going to play the wheel side. That shouldn't surprise anybody. He had an outstanding year last year. Michael Always in here as a veteran. Perry Young is back as someone who was here late in the season last year, and I think they like quite a bit. Shaq Smith, another guy who was at rookie camp. We'll see what his role is. I expect him to be kind of like an every week roster type of guy, probably more of a teamer. but he could get some looks at middle linebacker. And Silas Stewart is the X factor because he showed up with a bit of an injury. So no answers yet at middle linebacker, but we continue to wait with bated breath. They got some good options. It's just going to be who's going to take the biggest step forward and grab that position by the time week one rolls around.
Maddie, I appreciate you as always. Look forward to checking in with you during the season again as we get ready for some Stampeders football with the first preseason game coming up on Monday, pal.
Thanks for having me.
Take care, guys. Thanks. Maddie Rose joining us. You know him, you love him from Rustic and Rose on the Big Show in the mornings here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Also our Stampeders reporter. Looking forward to more Stamps coverage with Matt. Throughout the year, Stamps' first preseason game happens on Monday at McMahon Stadium, 2 p.m. kickoff against the Edmonton Elks. We got to get out of here. Hockey Central 960 with the one and only Haley Salvian is coming up next. You don't want to miss it. She's got Craig Morgan to talk all things Arizona Coyotes coming up. Steinberg's got Flames talk a little bit later on as well. More news and storylines around a Flames GM hire, of course. I'm sure Steinberg will dive into that with Wes Gilbertson and more. And also, it's a game day for the Calgary Wranglers tonight on your radios. They look to keep their season alive against Coachella Valley. We'll be back tomorrow. Same time, same spot. Thanks for listening. Thanks to my producers, Cam and Taylor, for another outstanding day of work. We'll be back tomorrow here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.